Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Matthew 8, 23. Last week, I was going to teach entire chapter 8. And I realized it's a bigger chunk than I can chew. So I decided to split. This is the best split I can make. We witnessed how Jesus displayed His authority over sickness, His authority over demon-possessed people. Now we are going to witness the authority over forces of nature and forces of demonic forces. It is important for us to understand what kinds of power He has. When the things don't go or the way we want, or the things goes haywire, or the prayer does not answer according to our scheduled time, we panic. Don't look at me like you never panicked before. I'd panic before. We panic, and we often think that God is losing His control. Only person lost anything is not God. It's us. We lost our cool. We lost our trust in God. God never loses His control. As a matter of fact, there is no terms in His vocabulary losing control. Let's make a couple things clear. We often come up with the phrase, why the bad things happen to good people? Did you ever ask yourself about that? Why the bad things happen to good people? Guys, there's no good people on the earth. According to my Bible, according to Bibles on your lap, there's not a one good person. So anything good happen to us is icing on top of the salvation we receive. Jesus is the one who gave us salvation for those who trust Him. And anything good happen to us and have a breath, I should consider it as icing on the cake. It's an additional blessing. So anything bad happen to us, that's a normal. It's nothing unusual. However, any good things happen, it's coming from the Father in heaven. Second thing, we're going to talk about demons. We're going to talk about Satan. Some of you might say, well, that's spooky. That's the only time for the Halloweens. If you and I believe that there is a God, you better believe, I better believe that there's a demons. If you believe that there is a mighty God, you better believe that there is a God, there's the God of this world, which is the demons and the Satan. They're out there to steal our joy, to kill our love for Christ, to destroy our witness. That's their job. That's their intention. That's their goal. Another thing I should make clear is the idea from the Hollywood is Satan, either one end or the other end. Satan is the one with a red pajama, a long john, or with a little tail sticking out, with a pitchfork sitting on the top, left shoulder preferably, and whispering something bad to your ear. That's not what the devil is. And on the other side of the spectrum of Hollywood, devil power is phenomenal, equivalent to the God's power. No, he's not. He's the created being. God is the creator, so created beings cannot be equal to the creator. So, don't ever think that devil is the same omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, divine divinity as God. He is a created being, and he is ruled over by God, and he had to do what God tells him to do. Within the allowance, he can do whatever he want to do against human being. Why does he hate human beings so much? Because we are created by image after God. So, and he knows how much God loves us. So anything he hurt us, anything to hurt us is against God. So he will do anything. To him, we are nothing more than pawn. He doesn't care about us. He wants to drag us down as many as he can to the hell. And we're going to talk about this in more in detail. Before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our heart to receive your word, understand the spiritual warfare, and understand even the glimpse of your master plan for our lives to bring glory to yourself. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 23 of chapter 8, Matthew. Now when he got into the boat, he, is meaning Jesus, his disciple followed him. Suddenly, great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, and then he was asleep. You might underline he was asleep. Then his disciple came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the wind, underline rebuke. Rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was great calm. So the man marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? This is the same storm that Jesus talked about, wind and flood and rain, that revealed what kinds of foundation we are on. This same storm, reveals who is in control. As I said before, God never loses control. The life, the storm of our lives comes to us with a pre-approval from God. If God says no, there is no storm coming to our side. I asked you on the line, he was asleep. What does it mean? He was sleeping. Jesus was sleeping. It shows a couple of things. Number one, he is human. He needed rest. After all day work, he needed rest. Shows that he's 100% human being, same time 100% God. The other side, 100% God, he was a complete peace. In the midst of the churning boat, up and down, pitch and fog, he is in sleep. Why? Because he's finding a peace in the Father's will. This brings another thing to my mind. Can we, listen to me please, can we be in the middle and center of God's will, do everything right according to God's will, and still be in the storm? Yes, this is case in point. Yeah, often we think that we go through a storm because we do something wrong. Is it the only case? No. We can be in the middle of God's will, right smack dab in the middle of God's perfect will, still go through storm. Why? We're going to look into it. Why God bring the test to us? Just to harass us? Just to harass us? Just to give us hard time? He's not the God who's sitting at the edge of this heaven and looking down, ha ha ha, look at him, I'm going to hit him with a sledgehammer, just for fun of it. No, he doesn't do that. He sent a storm to us to teach us, to whip us into shape. I started doing some exercise on my own. Most of the time, I used to sit on my butt 8-10 hours a day, doing nothing but the sitting around. So I realized I'm starting building the inner tube around my waist. So it didn't look that good. And when I looked down on my feet, and I couldn't see my toe. So, okay, so I'm going to do some sit-ups. And along with the other exercise. Once I started doing exercise, I feel better. I'm getting into shape. We don't get into shape because we don't discipline ourselves enough. We make an excuse. How many times I change my schedule in a day when I'm supposed to do the exercise? Oh, I can do it later. I can do it later. In the evening, oh, I can do it tomorrow. You do that. I do that. Whenever it's against our fleshly desires, we tend to postpone. We tend to make an excuse. Do I want a body like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah. Buffed up body. But I don't want to put out effort. And you do the same thing. not this month, next month, following month, January. That's the time majority of exercise equipment will be sold in America. How long does it last? Give about 3 weeks. If it's a jogging machine, the treadmill, it will turn into the drying your laundry. You've been there, right?
Yeah.
Putting the laundry on top of it and then become collecting dust. And your weight bench will become something else, putting the pottery on the top. Majority membership for the health club will be signed up in around January. New resolution lasts about 2 weeks. They get most majority income in January. It doesn't last. Why? Because it goes against our nature. We don't want to put our effort to achieve the goal. We want to get it for free without effort. Same thing in the spiritual realm. We want to discipline ourselves to read the Word of God, to pray, but yet we don't want to do it. Storm comes along because we don't put out enough effort. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, I read to you, God bless the people who have patiently endured the testing after they will receive the crown of life and God has promised to those who love Him. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Put your finger in Matthew and let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews is right before James. Chapter 12. Are you guys hot?
No.
Jim, contact school, but talk to them about it for me, please. Chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Underline, chastens. And scourge every son whom he receives. The word chasten is a rather interesting word. If you look at it in the Greek word, it has the same meaning as a trained. In other words, God used chastening us as a training. Because he loves us, he teaches us, and he brings a series of the storms to our lives, in our lives, that we may be in the image of Christ. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform into the world, but transform into renewing your mind, that you may prove what is the whole good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So he is trying to train us. In my view, there's a three storms. Okay, I did it the wrong way. First one, correcting storm. Second one, protecting storm. And third one, perfecting storm. Correcting storm is coming from our own failure, our own mistakes. Correcting storm comes from what we did wrong. Let's make an example. Christmas is coming up. This is what I used to do. I had this plastic card called credit card. And I can walk away with the merchandise. That sounds cool. Try again. Until I got the bill in January. I didn't like that numbers. I thought it was free. It wasn't free. If you guys consider doing that, I have an advice for you. Cut that thing off. Because those people will come back after you. If you don't pay on that month, they'll add interest to on you, and you will regret every moment of it. All of a sudden, fun gift is no longer fun gift. Become a curse. Some of you guys been there and still in there. Make a promise to God and promise to each other, this year we will not do that. It's a curse. Don't put yourself in that kind of bondage. Correcting storm. God allowed that kind of storm to come along in January to teach us not to do that kind of stupidity. And protecting storm, we find in the example, and Jesus feed 5,000 people. Of course, they had a nice lunch, and they all of a sudden decided, we gotta make this guy king. Then he can feed us morning, lunch, and dinner, all together, for free. Let's make him a king. They were going to make him a king by force. Disciples liked that idea. If their master become a king, hey, I can be one of the secretary in the cabinet. And I can have a chariot with a Cadillac symbol in the front and running around, and maybe I'll have a nice fat expense account. They liked the idea. Their heads was getting big. But Jesus was protecting them, took them away from the multitude, and put them in the boat, and crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the storm came along, so nobody can come after them. Sometimes God allows us to go through the storm in our lives to protect us from our heads getting big. Third, perfecting the storm. This is one storm that we don't really like it. This is one of the storms that are in the middle of the center of the God's will, yet we go through a difficult time. Let me make a couple of examples. One, number one, Joseph. He was chosen by God. Yet he was sent to Egypt as a slave, and then he ended up in a prison for total length of time, over a decade. Was he out of God's will? No, he was right smack dab in the middle of God's will, yet God was using that storm of his life to train him. What about Moses? After he did something stupid like a killing Egyptian, couldn't even bury that man in the sand properly, he had to run for his life into the desert. God kept him in the desert for 40 years. That's a long storm, guys. None of us like to have a storm in our lives for 40 years. For 40 years, he was sitting there and thinking that probably he became a nothing, nobody. And God pulled him out and brought him to be a somebody. God allowed this kind of storm to come in our lives to train, to teach us, to make us to be more mature in Christ. He doesn't want us to remain babes in Christ. You might like to remain as a babe in Christ, but God doesn't. If you choose to remain a babe in Christ, guess what? He will send you the storm. And that will be first one, correcting the storm. The correcting the storm has a situation. If we learn, we can get out fast. Guess what happens if we don't learn? All of a sudden, the length of that storm period prolonged. Guess who has control over that length of storm? We do. If we learn, we repent, we can walk away from that storm, but we choose to remain. Please remember that. See, I asked you on the line, rebuked. The word rebuked. God didn't bring out the angels and then stop the storm. He just simply said, or I don't know what he said. He probably said it. And all the storms and the sea and the churning waves stopped in the middle, literally. How do I know? According to the Bible, it said a great calm came upon. From the great storm to great calm by great Savior. Only thing that's still churning in that area, in the Sea of Galilee, is the disciples' mind. And they're wondering, who is this man? Now let's go on to the verse 28. We find fight against the demonic forces. Verse 28 of chapter 8. When he had come to the other side to the country of Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tomb and exceedingly fierce, so no one could pass that way. And certainly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God, have you come here to torment us before the time? In chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, you will find the same incident. However, you will notice that there is one man instead of two. Matthew said two, and there's Mark and Luke says two, one. Does it mean they're contradicting to each other? One thing I remind you guys, in Hebrew word, singular and plural is not clearly distinctive. That's one, number one. Number two occasion is Matthew count as a two. What's his background? What's his previous occupation? Tax collector. What do they do most of the time? What do they play with most of the time? Numbers. So he knows how many people exactly. But probably, in my opinion, one of two is more fierce, more demon-possessed, the other one. So probably, I'm guessing that Mark and Luke just designated as one person. All right. What we find out is interesting is the demons knew three things. Number one, they knew who Jesus was. They called him Jesus, the you Son of God, realizing he is God himself. Number two, they knew that their immediate destiny. They knew that they will be cast out. And number three, they knew the ultimate destiny, being tormented in hell. There are three types of people when it comes to the spiritual warfare. Number one, completely ignorant people. They are the people who are clueless and careless. They don't care. They don't give a darn for anything. They think that is this God thing and the demonic things are nothing more than Hollywood jokes. And they really don't care what can happen. Second group of people is superstitious people. These are the people who walk around with the garlic around their neck. They said, oh, with this garlic necklace around my neck, I can keep the demons away. Yeah, you can now the demons are and the other people too. Far away, especially if you start to eat that thing. And there are another group of people who carry the silver spike in their pocket, a gun with a silver bullet inside. I have a 44 Magnum with a silver bullet. Demon can come after me. I can shoot at that thing. Let me tell you this. Oh, there's another people who carry that crucifix as if that thing has a power. You can have all the crucifix and all the silver bullet, all the garlics around your neck and up to your eyeball, and the devil is not afraid of you. There's only one power the devil is afraid of you. That's the power of Jesus. Third, the people with the trust in God, in Jesus, they believe in the Word of God. 1 John 4:4 says, greater than is in me than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit within me, because he's God himself, he's greater than any around the universe. And then there is a group of people who talks about demon possession of Christians. It's nothing more than false doctrine, ladies and gentlemen. Let me make that thing very clear to you. There is no place in the Bible you can find Christian demon possessed. We do what the Bible says, what Jesus said, what the apostles did. If they didn't do, we don't do. If Jesus didn't say, we don't do. If Bible doesn't say, we don't do. Don't come up with this, some revelation of some Bible teacher. They said, well, it's not in the Bible, but I got the inspiration from God last night. I said, that's a bad breather you had last night. Don't listen. Do you honestly believe that Holy God will reside in your heart, in my heart, and share a room with some slimy, scummy demons? No. He will not do that. There's no biblical ground. But Mark chapter 5. Mark is right behind Matthew. Mark chapter 5. Verse 2. All right, this is cross-reference. And when he had come out of the boat, he met out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit who had a dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him. Underline, no one could bind him. Not even with a chain, because he had even been bound with shackles and chains. A chain had been pulled apart by him, and shackles broken in pieces, and neither could anyone tame him and always, night and day, he was in the mountain and the tombs and crying out, cutting himself with the stones. Did you notice something here? Number one, he was tormented by Satan. That's his goal, as we talked about. What does the society do for him? They chained him. They tried to bind him. In California, they have a law called the three strike, you're out. Have you ever heard that? In other words, you get convicted three times, they will lock you up for life. No matter what kind of crime that is, it can be petty crime. Shoplifting three times, you get convicted, guess what? You're in the Folsom prison for the rest of your life. You murder somebody, you only get caught once, you do time, you get half time, and even sometimes good behavior parole, you get out. 85%, listen to me please, 85% of inmate goes back to, after they get released, they go back to their prison. How do I know? I've been there for 12 years, not as inmate, as a volunteer. Don't look at me like that. Oh, what did he do? Yeah, I've done my time 12 years. I was volunteer for 12 years in teaching the word there. And I saw them, many of them coming back. Same people coming back and again and again. Those who stay in the word, believe in Christ, and when they come up and faithfully follow Jesus, guess what? I haven't seen anyone back. That's 100%. When the Son sets them free, they shall be free indeed. So this is not just case for the inmate, but this is for all. If you dabble with the God and a little bit, and you dabble with the world a little bit, you are the most miserable person. Because from the world, you are Christian, those funky, idiotic Christian. From God, you're convicted. So you are in between somewhere. But, alright, Satan tried to hurt him. Society tried to bind him. Let's see what Jesus did. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 30. Chapter 8, verse 30. Bless you. Now, good way off them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. The demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." He said to them, "Go." So they had come out and they went into the herd of swine. This is the first origin of the deviled ham. Let's go on. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down to the steep place to the sea and perished in the water. This is the second origin of the pickled ham. All right, no more pokey jokes. Jesus allowed these demons to go into the swine, and eventually they killed entire group, herd of swine. What did they do? What are they trying to do? They are trying to destroy the host of their place. I've seen, this is not a joke, I've seen demon possessed man and woman. Before we joined the Calvary Chapel, Karen and I were involved with a home mission church in downtown in Tucson. There are a lot of homeless people, and some of them are severely demon-possessed. They are no longer acting like a human being. They are completely controlled by demons. This is not some toon character. This is the real life, ladies and gentlemen. If you give your mind to whomever can control, you will be demon possessed. That's why it is so important none of the Christians should get involved with a, what you call that thing? No. Hypnosis. There we go. Thank you. You know what that do? Literally opening your mind. I just said that the Christian cannot be demon possessed, but we can be demon oppressed. Do not leave your control of your mind to someone else other than yourself, other than God. As the body of Christ, we should come confident in Christ. And don't think that devil is doing this, devil is doing that, and don't be scared of. And let them be scared of what you are going to do when you stay in Christ. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 59, please. Isaiah is right before Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. Verse 19 of chapter 59 in Isaiah. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and for his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. In other words, when the enemy's attack is heavy, God will protect you all the way. You can have a faith in him. Let's go into the verse 33 of chapter 8, Matthew. Then two kept them fled, and they were went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And let's see what they do. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Instead of rejoicing for the man who set free from the demon possession, they wanted Jesus to leave him. Why? These are the Jewish people. There's a few things that Jewish people has nothing to do with. What is it? Pig. Ham. So don't eat ham sandwich in front of Jewish people. You're trying to insult them without you realizing it. See, these people, even though they are not supposed to hang around with this forbidden, unclean animals, they were raising this unclean animal. Why? It's good for their wallet. And then now all of a sudden they realize there's finance end up in the bottom of the sea and they didn't like it. And then who knows what is Jesus will bring more change to into their lives. Let's bring it to our application. Sometimes we don't like what Jesus is doing in our lives. Why? As I said before, it goes against our nature. We have a fleshly desire. We want what we want, when we want, how we want, not what the way God wants. We rather watch some stupid sitcom talking about promoting gay and lesbians, promoting sex, having a sex with just about anything that walks around and going against our faith, but we're laughing at it. We're condoning it. Having a sex before the marriage is normal to us now. We don't even blush. And that's not the only thing. I just heard a preview of the 60 Minute. Did you know? I was surprised, but then again, I realized it's real. More people watch pornography movies than entire sports events in the United States. I just read an article, 13% of people who get into the pornography in the internet are women. I thought it was just men thing. Surprising. If we count the teenagers who get into Internet pornography, that ratio goes extremely high. Pornography industry is one of the thriving industry in the United States, and they supply majority of worldwide demand. Why? Because it goes with our fleshly desires. Many people will go against the guns. They talk about gun control. I have a gun, 357. I used to have it under my pillow, but it could get in the way, so I took it out. That 350 never blew my brain off until somebody put that little trigger, wrap around trigger with the finger and pull that thing. Gun itself never killed people, yet they would not go against Budweiser, Coors Light. Why? Because it pleased them. But they have to put the blame on guns. Typical attitude. Let's make a couple of applications since I got all hyped up about that kind of thing. Number one, we must remember the storm of life will not sink us. We must remember that storm of life will not sink us because Jesus is with us. Can you see that? No, you cannot see that. How's that? Is that better? Second application. The very one who gives us conviction, that is the Holy Spirit, is also the one who removes conviction from our heart if we come to Him and ask forgiveness, so that we may rejoice in His presence. It is the Holy Spirit who brings the conviction to our heart. God never condemns us. If you get the condemnation, it's not from God. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction is to make us to be better. Condemnation is to make us to go down and down and down. Condemnation never comes from God. Woman says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me. God wants us to go through the storm of our lives with Him. He will carry us to the end as long as we hang on to Him. We come up with our own feeble excuse not to follow Him. We were happy to see the three people came back to the Lord. No, more than three people came back to the Lord last week and the midweek service. It was a delight to see them. And we pray for them. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day, now is the time. Don't walk away from Him. Don't walk away from His inviting hands. Your religious experience doesn't mean a thing to God. Personal relationship with Jesus Christ means everything. Let's stand up and pray. I want the deacons to come down. Go ahead, Carl, stay there. Jim, Willie. If you need a prayer, come on down. We'll pray with you, the deacons and myself and Mark, who are here. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come to Him today. And if you have been playing game with God, stop. Come back to Him. Let's not forget to sign up for the prayer chain outside. Let's sing one more song before we go.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live.